Good morning. It's Saturday, 23rd of January. Our middle reading today is Psalms 41, 42 and 43. I'm going to read to you from Brother Dudley Fifield's book. This is a comment particularly on Psalm 43. We turn now to the messianic significance of the Psalms and, taking as understood the manner in which the spirit of the psalmist would have reflected the Lord's own language and yearnings, we turn in particular to a specific period in his ministry and a definite event that seems to have been prefigured by the words of this psalm. We know that the Lord Jesus was driven by his enemies from the city and temple that he described as his Father's house. He came unto his own inheritance, and his people received him not. As his ministry progressed, it became more dangerous for him to present himself at Jerusalem for the feasts, and each time the fact of the nation's rejection became more apparent. How closely would he associate himself with the feelings of the psalmist? There came, therefore, a time when Jesus came into the very area geographically from which the psalmist had looked so longingly to Jerusalem. It was at Caesarea Philippi that Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" The answers given were such that it was evident the people had rejected him as the Christ. "John the Baptist." But some say, "Elias." And others say, "That one of the old prophets is risen again." That's what we read in Luke chapter 9. It is hard to believe the credulity of men. They could believe that he was John the Baptist or one of the prophets risen from the dead, but accept him as the Christ, the Son of the living God? Never. They would believe anything, grasp at any straw, rather than face up to the responsibilities such a recognition would have placed upon them. Human nature has not changed at all. It is just the same today. This was the turning point in the ministry of Jesus. All the Gospels make clear that it marked a change in the attitude of the people towards him, and he himself began to prepare his disciples for the things he must suffer at Jerusalem. But Jesus also needed preparation. All three synoptic Gospels tell how at this time Jesus was transfigured before his disciples. Knowing that before him lay the agony of Gethsemane and the shame of the cross, he would have found the words of Psalm 42 particularly appropriate. "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and all thy billows are gone over me." So he went up into a high mountain, surely one of the Hermon range. Remember the reference to the snows of Hermon and Peter's personal reminiscence through Mark, where he says, "And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow." It is Luke, however, who tells the details of the conversation that he had with Moses and Elijah. They spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They strengthened him for the task ahead, and the result was that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So, from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, he set his face to become obedient, even unto the death of the cross. How beautifully the thought is reflected in the last stanza of the song. "O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me, let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God." He steadfastly set his face and came to offer himself for the sin of the world, knowing that beyond the cross there was the joy set before him, for through his exodus, his coming out, he would go to the Father, to God, his exceeding joy. Thank you for listening.